You're listening to the ESO Network, your station for all things geek.
In a world filled with cigars, craft beer, comics, movies, and video games,
only two men are brave enough to search out all things nerdy.
It's the Cigar Nerds Podcast!
And welcome to Cigar Nerds Podcast. I'm your host, Smokin' Joe.
I'm your co-host and producer, Brad Jackson.
So, what are we exclusively smoking this week?
So, the exclusive we have this week is the CAO Esteli TAA Exclusive 2018.
Yeah, from the 50th anniversary of the TAA as well. Yeah, if you don't know what the TAA is, it's like a it's like an annual tobacco retailers convention where they basically, like, you know, retailers kind of, I guess, purchase stuff as a group and get, you know, better deals. But like I said, all the companies make exclusive cigars just for this, you know, this band of retailers. So to get one of these, you know, your local retailer has to be a member of the TAA, which there's only maybe like one or two per states, but you know, you might be able to find one nearby to you. Just, you know, you can, I guess, go to TAA.com, you know, their website, Google them, and there's probably a list of TAA retailers. Here in Georgia, we have the Cigar Shop, our home base, is a member of the TAA. So
yeah, we're actually on site in location, Nerd Cave South. Like, it's been a long time since we've sat face to face and did a podcast. I mean, this is going to be weird because now I got to stare at your ugly mug.
Yeah. At least there's air conditioning. The last one we recorded at my house, and the AC unit was too loud for the mic, so we're like sweating balls in my shed.
Suck it up, Buttercup.
Yeah, we didn't realize it because before we'd only recorded during the winter when it didn't suck out there. Now it's like, oh, we're sitting in an oven. I'm like, got my shirt off. It's like all you didn't want this. This is an episode we definitely, you know, good thing we're not a live video show for that that recording.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, so nice little tangent, but back to the topic at hand. So this cigar is going to sport a Nicaraguan Jalapa binder, wrapper with Honduras binders and fillers from the Dominican Republic, Honduras, and Nicaragua. And this is available in one size, and it's going to be a 6x54. And, you know, kind of talking about the TAA and stuff, I mean, the thing about it is there just isn't a infinite supply of, you know, these cigars. I mean, I think it, you know, shows here that there are 1,500 boxes of 10 cigars, so, you know, 15,000 total cigars. Yay,
so, yeah,
math.
If you can find them, pick them up, smoke them, because so far this is pretty good. I mean, it's got a nice look. It's kind of, you know, like,
well, I'm really digging the Jalapa. You know, it's not as oily as you know, some of the other wrappers, but I mean, it definitely has, you know, the darker, you know, almost Maduro, you know, coloring to it and everything, which I mean, I always enjoy. Construction, flavor profile here. I think I'm at more of a medium on this one, and that may change because, you know, I am picking up just a touch of strength from it, but I mean that's one of the things that there's not too many CAO powerhouse cigars. I mean, you know, even their fullest cigar isn't, you know, as powerful as some out there that we've had on the podcast.
Oh, no. Unless you're smoking some of those, like the 770 flatheads. And even though I think some of those is like, it might not be as powerful if it wasn't so big. Like, I think the size of it has something to do with, like, the overwhelming power because you just have smoking so much of it that, most CAOs are a good medium to full bodied, you know, and they always have a lot of flavor, but, you know, like I said, strength in that medium full range, but with a couple exceptions that are freaking powerhouses. But
yeah, I mean, I don't know. I mean, this is nice. You know, I'm really digging the, you know, the filler and the binder combination, because there is a bit of a just a subtle pepperty, you know, to the smoke, but then it fades into, you know, a whole lot of your more earth tones and your leathers and some of the other, you know, flavors that it almost reminds me a lot of, you know, when I'm drinking scotch. You know, I'm getting a lot of nuances from this that I do. You know, unfortunately, I don't have a scotch or a bourbon to pair with this. I think this cigar here would definitely
We have some rye.
Yeah. But I'm thinking this may be more of a scotch cigar, though.
Yeah.
I'm realizing that I am much more of a bourbon drinker than I am, you know, scotch. But I may just have to...
Yeah, there's like just kind of like a particular time for scotch, I think. Like I said, bourbon, I can drink that like every day. But scotch is one of those like, I want to feel fancy when I'm drinking scotch.
You're never fancy. You're so fancy.
I'm so fancy.
Yeah, I mean, as you're sipping your cigars and everything else, I think we, you know, owe a little shout out to, you know, Strike Force Energy, especially if you're a prince on the move.
StrikeForceEnergy.com. Use your promo code CigarNerds for 20% off your order. And this week's episode, we're talking about our other favorite fictional African country. No, we're not talking about Wakanda this time. We're talking about Zumunda. It is the 30th anniversary today, as of the release of this, of Coming to America. So if you're going to plan a trip to Africa, you know, take some Strike Force with you. I mean, it comes in little pouches. You can fit a shitload of that in your carry-on luggage.
Mixes great with water, so, I mean, that way you can stay hydrated.
Exactly. If you have to run from a lion or something, you know, you got to get that Strike Force energy up.
Lions, tigers, and bears, oh my.
Cans will weigh you down. Kick the cans. StrikeForceEnergy.com. And with that, it's time to come to America. Welcome back. Yeah, it's the, you know, 30 years ago today, Coming to America was released, which is another one of my favorite Eddie Murphy movies. Like, you know, back before he got into, like, you know, this is like Eddie Murphy in his prime. Because now, like, you see an Eddie Murphy movie, it's mainly family comedies. Like, it's like all these, like, hardcore dudes. I mean, Ice Cube's done the same thing. Whereas, like, these dudes were, like, either hardcore comedians or rappers back in the day, and now they've gone, now that they've gotten old, it's like, we do family films now.
Well, I mean,
Nutty Professor 4, whatever the fuck Eddie Murphy's working on these days.
I mean, I think at this point, you know, it's something that, man, do I really want my own kids, you know, growing up the way that I grew up, talking about the things I did? No. I got to become a better influence. I've already made my million, so now I can, you know, change my course.
And now I got to make something that my kids can watch, I guess. I mean, hell, even Danny Trejo made a bunch of those, like, freaking Spy Kid movies and shit. Danny Trejo is like, yeah, I mean, he still does some badass shit, but yeah, it's like, you know, you'll see him pop up in a family film nowadays.
I mean, but, you know, whatever. I mean, you do what you got to do to, you know, stay on top of things, stay relevant, and, you know... I guess, you know, I mean, it's a great way to broaden and, you know, like I said, just remain relevant. I mean, you're appealing to a whole, you know, group of people that, you know, may just not know me as, you know, on the bloody chainsaw wielding, you know, machete or something, you know, I mean.
But yeah, 80s Eddie Murphy is probably like some of the highlights of good. Like I said, we've kind of mentioned that, R-rated comedies have kind of made a resurgence in the last couple years, but you know, this was like the prime time of R-rated comedies, where it's all right to say fuck in a comedy, and occasionally you'd see some boobs.
The royal penis is clean.
Yes. That is one of my favorite lines.
Which is, you know, it's kind of fitting because, you know, as I've been out on the road, anytime I'm on the road for, you know, more than a couple of hours, I've been, you know, so basically my 5-hour car drive back, I was listening to Game of Thrones. So, I mean, this is just very fitting, you know, I mean.
Yeah, anyone who is not familiar with Coming to America, 1988, directed by John Landis, who also directed another Eddie Murphy movie we talked about, you know, in a previous episode, Trading Places. So it's another John Landis movie, you know, and made for like $38 million, made like over $200 million. So, I mean, one of like, you know, probably Eddie's biggest movies. Yeah, it came out in 1988. But yeah, it was about a African prince from the fictional country of Zamunda, who is basically grown up like completely, spoiled, but he's not like one of those like douchebag like spoiled guys. He's one of those.
I don't necessarily think it's even. I don't think spoiled is what the word I would use there. You know, I would say that, you know, you're grown up with royalty where everything is handed to you, coming from a person that's like, no, I want to forge my own path and experiences and not just this cookie cutter life that's already been predestined.
Like, yeah, because I mean, I do like the whole like opening sequence before we get into the actual Coming to America part, where it kind of shows just how he's grown up, where everything is, where he's not allowed to like do anything himself. It's like, you know, it's time for him to wake up and a full like orchestra like comes into his room and like the butler is like timing it perfect, like to start the, so he gets woken up by a live like orchestra.
Well, I mean, not only that, but I mean, dude, if you have people and their title is called wipers, like, I mean,
yeah. Yeah,
is a whole nother level of
Oh yeah, and he has the he doesn't even get to like dress and wash himself, so he has people to wash him, and of course it's a bunch of hot girls. It's like, I just love that, like in the tub, and it's like, the royal penis is clean, your majesty. And he's like, you know, I could put my own clothes. No, that's just dumb. Yeah, like,
why would you want to do such a mundane thing, you know?
Yeah, the dude's not even allowed to like walk by himself. He's like, has like, you know, people throwing out, you know,
rose petals.
It's like, that's like a whole industry in Zamunda, is like growing roses just for people to throw them out in front of him. And then they kind of remind me of, then it shows him, you know, having dinner with his family, the king, played by James Earl Jones himself, and Madge Sinclair, and the giant long ass table, and
I mean, just a little, you know, friggin' mic boxes.
Yeah, like, I got a little PA system. It kind of reminds me of that from like the first Batman movie when he's on a date and it's like the girls all the way into the other table and it's like, yeah, you having a good time.
But I mean, I those work surprisingly well because I've owned a few of those and they have never worked that well. It's like,
no. And he gets there like, what's wrong, my son? He's like, I'm going to walk down there and talk to you. Like, oh my God, he's actually coming to us. No, stay there. Someone, you know, get the rose petals. And then he gets up there. He's like, when did you grow a mustache? He's like, you know, he's like, his son sits so far from him. He like doesn't even realize. He's like, yeah. It's just kind of a weird way to
man of 21. I mean, which is kind of weird because you would think in a lot of royalty, like, there's not usually all that stuff happens, you know, like, your coming of age would be like 16. Like, it's kind of weird that, okay, 21, you're a man, time to get married and everything. Like,
yeah, but the time this was filmed, I don't think Eddie Murphy could pass for 18.
I really wasn't buying that he was 21 either. But
no. And of course, another great...
This is a great movie. So for all the people that want to, you know, see, you know, freaking, Harrison Ford, you know. Did I get that right? From Solo?
Yeah.
That's it. Yeah. So, if everybody, you know, taking Harrison Ford at 70 years old, put him, you know, this would be a great movie to figure out, that won't work. You know, just too vastly of age differences.
But yeah, we also, at this point, we also get the introduction to another great 80s comedian. Arsenio Hall is the co-star of this film as playing Simi, Prince Hazim's
servant.
Yeah, servant, but he's but he's also like his like you know assistant or whatever because he's like also you.
Know, I don't know. You would might as well just say you know it for all intent and purposes. You know, squire maybe. I don't know. I mean, this really isn't a knight thing, but I
yeah.
Mean,
but then you know, if you're royalty, pretty much, I guess you know, the your servants are pretty much the only person you get to be friends with because he's at least you know not throwing petals and stuff. He's like you know actually kind of you know. His confidant or whatever, and he even like you know trains him. He's like, I'm you know here to take the prince to his workout, and you know they're all dressed for polo for some reason. But then they go to the gym and start doing some like bow staff training, which was pretty sweet because I've been trying to work on my bow staff. And I'm like, I recognize some of these moves.
Should really watch more Napoleon Dynamite yeah. if you're trying to you know step your bow staff game up.
Yeah, I mean, I'm like, oh, he's doing Tiger in the Cage. I know that move.
I feel like that's a euphemism.
Gotta lock my door. Gonna go do Tiger in the Cage.
What does Urban Dictionary say?
Or Tiger in the Cave, not Cage. yeah, that sound makes it sound even dirtier.
Yeah. I don't know. Tiger in the Cage, man. If it's not a thing, I think we're about to just, you know, this will be our foray into, you know, freaking Urban Dictionary. We're about to open up the eyes of the masses.
Oh, yeah, that's something to... Google that. Let us know. Emails at cigarnerdpodcast.com. What's your interpretation of Cigar in the Cave? I mean, goddamn Cigar in the Cave. Tiger in the Cave.
Jesus, Cigar in the Cave.
That's a Bill Clinton move right there.
One can only imagine... How did this go for... Well, I mean, hell, this is R-rated comp. Why is it R-rated? I mean, okay, Samuel L. Jackson, it's got boobs. I mean, do you think it's really today's standard of R-rated?
Oh, no, this is like PG-13 in today's times. I mean...
But I guess, you know, 30 years ago, this is kind of, you know, pushing the envelope, so to speak. Speaking of which, so... You know, at the time when, you know, he's like, hey, we're in America. We need money and everything else. I'm starting to think that, you know, these Prince emails that I keep getting, you know, from the Nigerian country. What if?
Yeah.
There's some truth to that. You know, because it's like, you know, do you need 300,000? Oh, well, no, surely not. 4, 5? What about a cool mill? Sure, just go ahead and make it 2. Okay, great. Can you put 2 million on the letter? Like, dude.
yeah. So, oh freaking what's it? Oh yeah. They on his 21st birthday. It's he's supposed to be an arranged marriage, and he's like, this sucks balls. Like, I don't want to marry somebody I don't know, and he's like, I want somebody who's on my level. I don't want to. So I did like when he got introduced to his bride to be, and he's like, can we talk for a minute? Sure. And he's like, so shouldn't we get to know you? I've been trained since birth to do whatever, you know, you want. Well, what's your favorite band? Whatever your favorite band is. What's your favorite food? Whatever your favorite food is. It's like, oh, God damn it. And then he just starts fucking with her. He's like, so you're supposed to do anything I tell you? Yes. He's like, hop on one leg. Okay. Bark like a dog. Now bark like a big dog.
His dad comes in, it's like, what the fuck?
He's like, y'all doing some kinky shit in here. But then I like, you know, he's like, you know, tries, he's like, you know, I've lived here all my life. I want to kind of stand on my own. I need to like travel and learn. He's like, oh, he's like, thinks he's wanting to have like the sex conversation. He's like, oh, you know, do I need to explain stuff to you, my son? I assumed you were having sex with the Royal Bathers. I know I am. It's like the royal penis is clean, Master.
I hope they have separate bathers, because that could be weird. I don't think you want to play in the same box that your dad's played in. Like, I just, no. All right, we're Shut it down. That went to a very bad
place.
But
yeah, he's like, oh, you just want to get out and, you know, sow your royal oats before you get married. So yeah, he's like, take 40 days, go travel the world, do whatever. But he's like secretly like, I'm going to go find a wife on my terms. And they're like, well, where should we go? And he's like, well, let's go to America. Like, all right, we're in America. Who's going to have, like, you know, women who are educated and regal. They're like, there's a place Queens. Called Queens in New York. That's perfect. Let's go to Queens.
I just love it. You know, just from the fact that, you know, that's got to be it. But, I mean, then again, okay, so here was my problem with them going to Queens. If you want to get away from all of the royalty and everything, wouldn't you go to any other place other than a place called Queens?
Or, like, you know, they want to be low profile, and, like, he's like, the whole point of this is, like, we've got to hide that we're rich and famous, you know, so we're going to rent, like, a tenement building apartment and get day jobs and try to find a woman who falls in love for me and not for my money. So you think if you're, I don't know, a world leader or whatnot, New York, you know, UN, you know, places like, you know, big cities, you would think, you know, someone would recognize you. Well, I mean, he does almost get busted when they go to the freaking basketball game because some, like, there's a couple, like, Zamundan guys that are selling popcorn or whatnot. But yeah, you would think, like, you know, he would, you know, well, this was pre-internet, you know, and like pre, like, 24-hour news network. So
this was maybe one of those could, where, like, you would have to go to radar. Like, you know, the gas station and find the travel stand and, you know, pick up a book on, you know, destinations. But then again, I don't know how many of those existed in Africa.
I mean, it's pre whatchamacallit, the photographers that follow everybody around. You can't be famous without being all over, like, social media. But yeah, in a time pre-social media, I guess it is, you know, possible that he could fly in under the radar. And speaking of under the radar, I mean, Eddie Murphy and Arsenio Hall both kind of come from sketch comedy backgrounds. And this is probably one, like, one of the first movies of where Eddie Murphy and Arsenio Hall are playing, like, half the damn cast. I mean, this kind of became a staple of Eddie Murphy comedies is, like, oh, here's how we're going to save on the budget. I'm going to fill, like, 15 roles. Or is Eddie getting paid for each of the characters? Is his quote per character at this point?
Whoa, that just... quid pro quote.
Yeah, y'all got to pay me for, like, the 15
this
people I'm playing.
Quote.
Yeah, because Eddie, not only is he playing the Prince Akeem, he's also, one of the first people they meet when they come to America is these old barber guys. Because, yeah, I mean, if you want to get to know the neighborhood, go talk to the barber. Those are the guys that know, like, everybody. I mean, we've learned that from watching Luke Cage so far. So Eddie Murphy is the old barber, and Arsenio Hall is the other barber. Then he's also, like, this old Jewish man that that hangs out there. He plays at one point they go to a benefit thing, and there's like an old, like, R&B group, and called Sexual Chocolate. He's also the lead singer of Sexual Chocolate. I mean, Eddie Murphy is, like, everybody in this movie, and Arsenio Hall is he's like this preacher and the barber, and then he's also, like, one of the ugly chicks when they go to the, because at first they're like, well, let's go meet chicks at a bar, and they kind of, it was like speed dating before speed dating. I mean, this is like just a whole montage of them sitting down with, like, girl after girl who are mostly, like, psycho. Like, one of them's like, I talked to Satan. And then finally, like, it's freaking Arsenio Hall in a dress. He's like, I'm in the group thing. I'm really excited to meet you and your friend. And Arsenio's, like, freaking spitting his drink. I was like, oh, shit. He's just credited as ugly chick in the credits.
It's time to go. I don't know. See, that whole, like, thing of I thought that was just, you know, her trying to blow these guys off, like, you know, stop hitting on me. I'm not interested. Go away.
The rapping twins, and yeah, it was like just a whole montage of bad dates. It just, kind of, like I said, it's speed dating before speed dating really became a thing. But yeah, Eddie Murphy playing like, you know, half the characters in the movie has definitely like become a staple of Eddie Murphy performing. And Arsenio Hall as the preacher guy, I thought it was Eddie Murphy too, because it reminded me so much of his preacher character from Vampire in Brooklyn. I was like, he must have been like, when he did Vampire in Brooklyn later, he's like, I'm going to steal Arsenio Hall's character, because this is like, almost acted like the same dude. But then again, I guess there is like a stereotypical, like, you know, Southern, you know, style black preacher character. So I can see why like they all use the same impression, because it is definitely a very stereotypical movie performance.
I just want to know where I can get some soul glow. That was my only mission.
Make your soul glow.
I mean, I was like, I don't have the hair for it, but maybe it could give me the hair. I mean, I am Michael Jackson.
Oh, that's probably why his hair caught on fire that time, was all the soul glow. Yeah, because there's like the whole fictional product that kind of floats through the movie is this, you know, if you remember back in the 80s, the Jerry Curl, it was a... a Jerry Curl hair product. And the, you know, once they meet his potential bride to be Lisa McDowell, played by Shari Headley. Yeah, her boyfriend, love interest, who's kind of a douchebag, Eric LaSalle, who plays Daryl Jinks, is the kind of the heir to the soul glow fortune. Is kind of like a douchebag. It's like who Eddie Murphy could have been if he had, you know, been spoiled by his rich upbringing. This is like the American version of Prince Akeem.
I don't know. I thought it was a great contrast that worked, you know, just really, really well. You know, somebody that, you know, just had that sense of entitlement, abuses it, versus somebody that has, you know, everything and is like, no, I want a much humbling and, you know, real life experience. You know, I want genuine things, not just manufactured because I have money and power.
Yeah, almost like you see, like, you know, monks and like the Shaolin, you know, guys like that like intentionally are poor because they want to, you know, earn life, you know, and work hard and stuff like that. And, you know, it's kind of a humbling, you know, character building experience. And this guy's like a guy that was just given money and sweet hair and became a douchebag. Yeah, and so, you know, once they fail at meeting chicks at the bar, of course the barbers are like, well, you want to meet a nice girl, you got to go to this community gathering, there's a lot of church girls there. And that's where he first sees Lisa and her father, played by John Amos of Mr. McDowell, who runs a great like ripoff of McDonald's. It's like the running joke. It's like a
instead of the Golden Arches, we have a Golden M. Yeah. Instead of the Big Mac, we have the big, what was it?
Was it the Big Arnold or something?
No, I mean, it still started with an M.
Big Mick, yeah. Yeah, it was big the Big Mick. Yeah. It's still like, you know, two all beef patties, special sauce, lettuce, cheese. But they have a sesame seed bun. I don't have any sesame seeds, so it's completely different and not copyright infringement. And all their shit's like Scottish themed. Yeah, everything is like got some sweet Argyle uniforms and whatnot. But yeah, he's like, yeah, the McDonald's people are like photographers. He's like, you know, running them off the property. He's like, they're trying to get me because, you know, they say I ripped them off. No, this is a completely new and different idea. It just happens to be called McDowell. And at one point, you even see him when he, like, walks into the... Because he comes up with the whole thing, you know, he's like, well, if you want to get the girl, you got to get in good with her daddy. So he goes and tries to, like, butter up, because they get jobs at the McDowells to try to meet the girl. And so he goes in to try to talk to the dad, and he's reading a McDonald's employee's manual. He's like, oh, shit, and, like, hides it real quick.
I did not catch that.
I thought that was a cool little touch. He's like, this is because he's like, it's because I was like, no, that legitimately says McDonald's on it. It's like a McDonald's handbook. He's like, fucking hides it real quick when he comes in the office.
I mean, I don't know. I was like, is it porn?
It's got some spank mags hidden in his employee manual. Yeah, I've worked in a McDonald's before. That's not, you know, uncommon.
You know, I've never been into the fast food thing.
I did it once, and at a certain point, I was just like, this job sucks about, like, I want to see what it takes to get fired. And they never would fire me. Like, I literally, like, filled a damn McDonald's cup full of bourbon and was, like, drinking it at work. And, like, no one, like literally they just told me not to do it the next time. It's like, did not get, and I got in a fight and, like, slammed a guy's head into the ice cream machine and didn't get fired. It's impossible to get fired. You got to really fuck up to get fired from a McDonald's. In fact, there was a thing, like, it was called the you know what the Mile High Club is. Well, this was like the McDonald's version of that, but it was for having sex on the playground after closing. So I mean, yeah, it's like there's plenty of behind the scenes things.
No
for
longer
movies
a
and...
slide, it's a slip and slide.
Oh, God. Yeah, like I said.
Those golden arches aren't... God damn. I just didn't quit. It's going to be bad. Are those golden arches Twin Peaks?
Oh, God. Hell yeah. And this, and this movie had so many, like, people who went on to be, like, huge that, you know, this was the first appearance of Cuba Gooding Jr. He doesn't even have any lines. He's the kid getting, I think it's like even credited as kid getting haircut. But yeah, there's like, at one point they're in the barbershop and there's like a young dude getting his afro touched up. And I'm like, is that fucking Cuba Gooding Jr.? And also a very early appearance of Samuel L. Jackson.
Yeah.
Nick Fury himself.
I mean, which I was absolutely having some flashbacks to, that felt very Pulp Fiction. He's like, that's how he got casted for that role. He's like, oh yeah, you've already, tried to hold up a diner, so,
Yeah, because at one point,
you have experience.
Yeah, Eddie's finally sitting down talking to the girl at the restaurant, and here comes Samuel Jackson with a pistol grip shotgun trying to rob the place. And like I said, that bow staff training come in handy. He just, unscrewed the mop head from his stick, and then, like, while the douchebag boyfriend is like hiding behind the behind people, he just walks right up to the dude.
You had a cup of coffee, okay? You ever spilled hot coffee on yourself? I mean, that's a bad day.
Yeah, that's what she's like. He's like, I would have helped you out, man, but I had coffee, my hands was full. He's like, yeah, I understand. But yeah, I just, like, he walks up with that mop and he's like, I'm gonna have to ask you to stop cussing in front of the customers and please put your weapon away. And he's like, motherfucker. And he's like, all right. And freaking just, like, knocks the shotgun out of his hand and, like, sweeps him. And then, of course, Arsenio Hall. And too, I like that, too, because Arsenio Hall's, like, working the register at the time. And they both kind of, like, lock eyes, like, it's time to go. It's like completely, like, just unspoken.
We were wishing
they both
a motherfucker would,
exactly.
And he just did.
That's what happens when your friends are all, like, trained, or at least think they're trained. It's like, we got that unspoken, like, oh, we've been wishing a motherfucker would for years, and now it's like you can see, like, the conversation going on between them and
they
in their
locked
heads.
Eyes and said, "Tiger is in the cage."
Like, then he sweeps him, like, Samuel Jackson tries to pull out, like, the switchblade, which is another '80s staple, but now Arsenio Hall is already scooped up the shotgun. He's like, "Freeze!" I forgot anyone calls me. It's like the greatest insult, though. It's like freaking flea on a pig's ass, or I forgot what it was, but it was like probably one of the greatest insults. It's like, you diseased goat herder or some shit.
And I mean, it almost goes back to, like, some of the Shakespearean insults. I mean, you blithering, maggot rot. Like,
it's just it was a, I got to look that up again. Cause that was just a great insult. And of course, Louis Anderson too is the, as the milkshake guy. And he's like,
dude, his milkshake brings all the boys to the yard.
Yeah, and he's like, you guys do a real good job of cleaning up. I started up on cleanup too, and then I moved up to fries. And another couple years, I'm gonna make assistant manager.
And that's where the big bucks happen.
And they're just like, oh, that's the big bucks. And I do like freaking Arsenio Hall too. Is like, while Eddie Murphy, Akeem does not want the rich life. Friggin' Arsenio Hall's all about that rich life. He's like, why are we not staying at, like, a fancy hotel? We have money. Like, why are we, like, I'm having to clean stuff. I've not gotten laid since we've came here. This sucks. And even, like, redoes their whole apartment, like gets a hot tub in the living room, which I so want a hot tub in the living room now because that was pretty pimp. It almost ruins, you know, almost blows Eddie's cover when he tries to bring the girl home because he's like, damn it, this apartment does not look shitty enough. It must be shitty. Oh, and then like, you know, they trade. He's like, you know, the landlord. He's like, we have a problem. Yeah, he's like, our room is too nice. He's like, well, I'll take your room. Y'all can have my house. And he's like, is it shitty? Oh yeah, it's very shitty. This is excellent.
Like, I almost expected, like, you know, at that moment, like, she actually comes into the apartment and it's like one of those, he knows where nothing is and, you know, there's all this other random ass shit, you know, that just gives the absolute wrong perception. And
yeah, because
I kind of thought that's the way that was going to go.
Yeah, he could have gone with the whole, like, you know, then she's like, this is not really your house. You're just using this to impress me. You know, because, like, later on, her sister, like, comes in looking for him and sees a bus Arsenio. So he has the great plan of, like, no, I'm actually a prince. You know, he's my... just does, like, the reverse of their story. You know, kind of, you know, he's my servant. then she's like, oh, no, I want to be with the prince.
Oh, which is just great. Like,
I'll tell you, too, and there's another thing, like, the opening of the movie, to back it up, the theme song that's playing, it's like, I'm like, is this fucking Lion King? This sounds a lot like A Weem Away without the whole, like, well, you know, in the jungle, the mighty jungle. And I looked, and of course, you know, King of Zumanda is James Earl Jones. Fucking Mustafa was James Earl Jones. I'm like, did they just, like, rip off the, like, you know, Coming to America when they made The Lion King? And I look up, no, it is the same band. That is the same Lion King song. Just a, you know, a little, like a different, you know, remix of it or whatever.
Well, I mean, there's not too many famous, I mean, you know, what other famous, you know, African just reigns in Africa.
I want to see them in like the sequel to Black Panther, like bring in that, like an Eddie Murphy cameo. They've got to make, like, by now he's the king of Zumanda, and Zumanda is like the neighboring country to Wakanda. I want that to happen so bad. Zumanda forever, Wakanda forever. Like I said, you know,
it's probably Zumanda that was, you know, the original funding for Wakanda.
I want them to be neighbors so bad. Like, yeah, have them, like, you know, run into them at, like, the UN meeting
or
something.
Well, I mean, if nothing else, you know, like have a map, you know, Wakanda was, you know, just like you said.
Okay, to sneak it in there, like, I want that reference so bad. Because the whole time, like, when they're showing the country and, like, all the richness of it, I'm just thinking, like, fucking Wakanda forever. Oh, yeah, Eddie Murphy needs to show up in the next Black Panther movie. He does family-friendly films now, so it's all good. He can be in Marvel Universe.
Yeah, there we go.
and I like some of his, like, misunderstandings of America. Like, when he first gets out of the airport and steps out in front of a cab to stop it, and the guy's like, you dumb fuck. And then later he's like, what does dumb fuck mean? And then my favorite, my all-time favorite scene from the movie is when they first get the apartment and he, like, walks out onto the balcony. He's like, hello, my neighbors. And they're like, fuck you. And he's like, yes, fuck you too. Because that, we did that, me and Mike were watching this movie one time at his apartment in Dawsonville. and he runs out on the balcony and it recreates that scene. He's like, hello, Dawsonville. Fuck you too. And like the next day we get a letter from the apartment complex. Please do not yell obscenities at your neighbors. We're like, come on, man, we're just quoting a Welcome to America.
what would have been really great is that, you know, somebody comes out like, yes, fuck you too. I don't know. Like, this film had a lot of, like, coming-of-age innocence to it. Like, I mean, that's one of the things I thoroughly enjoyed with it. It's just...
Yeah, because at its heart, it is a romantic comedy.
There was romance?
Well, it was attempted romance.
There was a romance.
Because, you know, like any romantic comedy, you know, he almost gets the girl, and then there's a misunderstanding, and he has to, like, you know, go win her back. And
did you have flashbacks, like, on the subway? Like, I had hardcore flashbacks to Predator.
Kind of looked like some of the same cast.
Yes. I was like...
Oh.
Crazy space alien.
Yeah, and yeah, after Simi redoes the apartment, freaking Akeem takes all his money, and so he's like, if you have any, don't have any pocket change, you know, you can't get in any trouble. And speaking of, like, you know, universe tying in, like the Marvel universe, he you know, goes on a walk with the girl and gives, like, a bag to these homeless guys, and she said, what's that? Oh, just pocket change. But then it opens up, and it's like this stack of money. But it's the two rich guys from Trading Places. Because remember the Trading Places at the end of them, they, like, you know, end up conning them out of, you know, forcing them to lose all their money. And it was kind of like just because it was actually those characters. Because he's like, Mortimer, wake up. We're back. We've got the money to start over. And I just thought it was hilarious that they brought those two characters back that, like, you know, yeah, that's what happened to them after Trading Places. They end up like homeless guys, and they even, like, you know, come back up to Eddie Murphy while they're eating. And he's like, they're like, thank you. We should do lunch. We're rich again. Oh, yeah, because I completely forgot about that part until I rewatched it. Oh, but yeah, and. That motivates Simi to send a telegram, like you were talking about the African princes looking for money.
Yes. It's like, can you read this aloud?
And she's like, you really want to send this? Oh, yes. Dear King Jaffe, we are out of money. Please send us $300,000. She's like, are you sure that's enough? He's like, maybe you're right. Maybe 500. Why don't we go a full million? That wouldn't be too much, would it? He's like completely... Stone Cold serious, and she's like, this guy's a fucking nut job.
I gotta say, though, like, they gotta get some better crowns and stuff.
Like, those did look like some, like, freaking...
Dude, you know what they reminded me? Burger King crowns.
Like, I was thinking, like, the bedazzler, like the glued-on jewels. But those yeah, freaking,
I mean,
gold
80s,
chains, though.
So, I mean, bedazzler was, you know, yeah, all the rage.
Get your bedazzler and some soul glue. But those gold necklaces were pretty pimp, though, with, like, the giant freaking shapes or whatnot. Yeah, so the king shows up to figure out what kind of shenanigans they've got going on. I do like the, you know, I guess your rank in society is based on the size of the cat you're wearing. You know, when Eddie Murphy's in his, like, you know, his, like, royal suit, he's got, like, a jaguar pelt. And when the king shows up, he's got, like, a full-on Mustafa freaking lion pelt. He's like, you know, once you're king, you got to get a bigger cat.
Yeah. Are you king of your castle? Why are your cats so small?
Exactly.
Get your weight up, son.
Those are rookie numbers. You got to get those numbers up.
It's like, well, I got a pet lion now. I mean, Anton LaVey had a pet lion. No, I think it was a tiger, actually. Can't remember.
That should have been, you know, freaking... Simi just had, like, some kind of weird gold chain thing. Akeem has the the freaking jaguar. The king has a lion. Simi should have had, like, a house cat. Like, whoever ranked low, it should have, like, had, like, a house cat pelt.
That's a little inhumane. Maybe bobcat, you know, something.
I mean, I got like a possum.
You're not even worthy of cat. You eat with the scavengers.
You have a marsupial. You're not feline. Whoa. Material yet.
Has a pouch, so that way, you know, the prince can just crawl inside and has to carry him out. Onward, buttercup. There's fuckery to spread.
Oh, wow. Yeah, and... Oh.
Somebody somewhere is listening, and they're like, these guys are on to something.
Oh, yeah.
Just remember, at a table, probably not much different than this one, somebody said, we should do a movie with sharks and a tornado.
Yes. A raccoon with a rocket launcher. I mean, it's no such thing as a dumb idea anymore. Except for Pacific Rim 2. That was a dumb idea.
Did you actually see that?
I finally watched it. It was on Normflix.
How was it?
Very Power Rangers. Like, nobody associated with the original movie wanted to be in that movie. Only the, Yoki or the girl co-pilot was the only one that returned. And she, like, was murdered, like, very soon.
You're too expensive. Kill her off.
Yeah, pretty much. It's just Finn and his, like, you know, Power Ranger buddies. like I said, the Jaegers, like, moved way too fluidly. I mean, it's definitely full CGI. It just did not look like, you know, didn't have the weight that the first one did. It just, yeah, it's like a very Megazord looking stuff in that movie.
Yeah, see, that's always my problem when, you know, the original film. I mean, that's a very high bar to strive for.
Yeah.
So, all right, back to the topic at hand. One day we're going to have, like, I don't know. I need to get some kind of, like, lashing device or something. That way, like, you get off topic. And
we get a flashing sign that says, like, tangent. Like, oh, the tangent light is on. We need to get back on. We need to produce, like, yo.
Whoa. Hold on. They got the easy button. Maybe we can get us a tangent button. It's tangent alert.
You know, like, you know, some of the big podcasts have, like, someone who's not, like, you know, hosting, who's like running the boards. You know, we need someone just to sit here, and that's his whole job, is to hit the tangent button when he sees us, like, wandering off topic.
So if you're interested in becoming a Cigar Nerds podcast, we'll give you the job title of wiper. You know, send all resumes to cigarnerdspodcast@gmail.com.
You're responsible for lighting cigars and operating the tangent button.
And wiping. I'm above wiping my own arse.
The golden arses.
Whoa. It's a golden nugget.
Yeah, and I did like how her father was like, you're not marrying a goat herder, until he finds out he's the actual prince. And he's like, oh, shit. So, like, he's all about, like, you know, getting her back together with Daryl. And he's like, yeah, you should come to the house and, like, you know, I'll help you work it out. And he shows up and he's like, get the fuck out of here. He's like, but you told me. He's like, that's, you know, She doesn't want you anymore. Get out of there. And then the guy keeps coming back to the door while he's, like, trying to, like, you know, suck up to Eddie Murphy. And he finally sicks, like, the little poodle on him. And he's, like, beating the poodle with a freaking bouquet. And the freaking attack poodle. Fucking poodles are vicious, though.
I don't think that was a poodle, though. That was, like, a Highland Terrier or something.
I don't know. They all look, like, fluffy and whatnot. But those things are fucking vicious.
Damn ankle biters.
And then the king, like, shows up and insults everybody. And, you know, it's just like.
It's so funny, like, you know, as, you know, like, just before that, you know, as, you know, the part where they have, you know, the prince come in and it's like, okay, you're going to serve champagne. Just make sure everybody's glass is full. And he's like, you know, after 30 years of hard work, son, you too could have a house like this. And the whole time he's like, 30 years, huh?
He's like, that would be something. I would have to fuck up royally. But yeah, like, the freaking king comes in, is kind of a dick and insults the girl. And you know, and he's like, you pissed off my daughter. Get the fuck out of my... He's like, oh, you've been in inconvenience. Let me give you $1 million. He's like, you ain't got enough money to buy me. And he's like, oh, really? And I like that the queen finally, like, you know, has been all, like, you know, nice that my husband do it. And then finally she's like, you know, husband, shut the fuck up. You have insulted this man. Like, you must apologize. And even after, you know, Eddie, like, goes and tries to smooth it out with a girl, and he's like, I will give up my throne. He's like, I give up my throne. Like, I'm no longer the prince.
I renounce, you know, everything.
And, like, the people in the train is like, you know, give him a shot. And she leaves, and he ends up, like, and then one little old lady is like, if you're really a prince, I'll marry you. So he gives her, like, the expensive earrings that she had, you know. And then, like when they're leaving.
I do kind of like that, though. Like, how do I word this gift, you know? And it's like,
because, yeah, they already donated a bunch of money to the...
From your secret admirer, not Daryl.
Yeah, because he already donated a bunch of money to her charity, and then Daryl like took credit for it. So it's like, here's some earrings, not from Daryl. But yeah, I like the conversation the king and the queen's having as they're leaving, and he's like, it doesn't matter. She turned him down anyway. And she's like, yeah, because you pissed her off. And he's like, well, it doesn't matter. She's a commoner. Like, it's, you know, it's not right. You know, and she's like, well, why not? She's like, it's tradition. He's like, what? Who am I to change tradition? He's like, oh, I thought you were the king. And he's like, oh, damn, she's calling him out. You kind of like insult the guy's manhood. And he's like, it's kind of like, you know, yeah, I'm leaving work and I'm like, I don't know if I want to go to the gym or not. And my wife's like, so you're going to go to the gym or are you going to be a pussy? I'm like, God damn it. I was like, I guess I have to go to the gym now because you just called me a pussy. It's like the wife knows how to motivate you. It's, you kind of undermine your manhood a little bit. Then you have to like, bitch, I'm going to the gym. I'll change tradition. I'll show you. And just like, it's the ultimate Jedi mindfuck.
All the while, all you're doing is tucking your tail and saying, yes, dear.
Yes, dear. It's that reverse psychology of it's like, you know, yeah.
But you're the one getting played and thinking that you're playing. Oh, boy.
Hey.
Marriage is complicated.
Still all worked out in the end.
You got the girl. He got the girl. Everybody's got the girl.
I got to say, though, the royal wedding, I thought that was like an Easter parade, man. There was a whole lot of pastels in that audience. And that bright-ass pink wedding dress. This was definitely the 80s.
I don't know.
Dude, like, when he, like, you know, removes the veil and it, like, sees it's, you know, her that, like, I guess his dad smoothed it out and she agreed to marry him and he sees his, you know, her father and like that and just immediately starts kissing her. And they're kind of, I guess the butler or whatever, he's like, Your Majesty, we've not gotten to that part yet. You can't kiss the bride yet. You got to go through the wedding.
Fuck that. He's the king. I'm the prince. Fuck that tradition. Yeah. I kiss the girl when I want to kiss the girl.
But I got to say, rewatching this, you know, when you go back, stuff that's got 30 years of age on it, sometimes the stuff doesn't hold up. But like, this one, Trading Places, definitely holds up.
This is timeless. This is timeless. Like, you... I don't know. I mean, after going back and rewatching this, I'm like, okay, I remember the film a little bit. But, you know, I mean, it's definitely one of those that... is one of those gems that, unfortunately, can sometimes be forgotten. And then, you, like you said, you go back and you're like, damn, this had heart? Had laughter? Like...
hey, the landlord's smoking cigars. It's got cigars in it. Oh, and I do like all the guys in the neighborhood that, you know, when they show up with their tons of luggage, like steal all their shit. When they come out, there's like all these like homeless people in street, like wearing like fur coats and like gold chains. And the one guy's like, hey man, y'all want to buy some quality hair products? And open up, and it's all like gold combs and hair dryers and stuff. He's like, you thief. And like, he's like, ah, let him have it. Like, we can buy more. We're in New York now. We got to dress like New Yorkers.
And they dress like the most touristy. Like. Yeah.
And like, she's like, when he's trying to like convince her, like, you know, that he's poor and stuff, he's like, oh, we're here for, we're going to college. Which college? The university. Which university? It's very small. You've never heard of it. We don't even have a basketball team. And then she's like, well, what'd you do in your home country? I was a goat herder. Well, how are you so like educated? Because he like just quoted like Nietzsche or something. She's like, well, there's not a whole lot of work with goat herding. The goats pretty much take care of themselves. Gives me a lot of time to read. I'm like, that's a pretty good excuse.
I guess you want to get into goat herding then, huh?
Yeah.
This is my herd of screaming goats. This is my herd of fainting goats. They tend to themselves. These scream, these faint, neither one moves.
That's my whole plan for the lottery is I'm going to buy a goat herd of screaming goats and fainting goats and just sit on my lawn smoking and watch them faint. That's pretty much what I'm going to do with my retirement if I win the lottery.
But your problem would be, man, that one's been on the ground for a really long time. Oh, wait, it's passed away.
Time for goat dinner. Oh, speaking of like tangents, have you seen the trailer for the new Grinch movie?
Wiper, are you doing your job? Oh, wait, hold on. We need more resumes.
But there's a screaming goat in there. That's just what it reminded me of that. But yeah, I mean, but Eddie Murphy too. I mean, like I said, he's kind of the originator of the, like, I see like so many other people doing, like, playing multiple characters in their movie, like Eddie does. You know, it's, Martin Lawrence has done that in his, some of his movies. Like, it, that has kind of become a thing. And also, you know, he's kind of the originator of the action comedy. I mean, if it wasn't for Beverly Hills Cop and so that, you know, we wouldn't have Bad Boys. I mean, that's something we got to, we need to do like a full, like, Beverly Hills Cop episode one day. Because that's a movie I recently rewatched, and it still holds up. But yeah, I mean, he's kind of like the originator of comedians didn't just have to do comedy movies. I mean, he's had several like successful action films as well.
Sorry, I got on a tangent. I found a company that apparently is, their sole focus is keeping you focused.
What is it, Ritalin?
No, man, it's like they got a whole team of people like designed to, you know, keep you on track and
get us some like shock collars or something, like dog tray collars. It's like, oh yep, we're off topic.
I mean, I got the stun gun over the was like, oh. Wait, he's out. That might have been a bit extreme. Maybe we should just invest in squirt guns. You know, you start squirting. What can we do? We need ideas, listeners.
Send them in to Cigar Nerd Podcast and @gmail.com.
Tweet us
at Cigar Nerd Pod.
Follow us on Facebook. Send us a direct message. Slide into those DMs. We need you.
So do you have any other, you know, highlights of this, this movie that stands out for you? Or other Eddie Murphy
So, I mean, moments. For this film here, I mean, dude, me being a guy with a shaved head, like, I, you know, my bucket list is to find a barbershop like that and just, you know, be able to go in, hang out, get a, you know, hot shave and everything. Like, I, you know, those guys are going to do it right.
Oh, yeah. It's like the, yeah, like I said, we talked about it in Luke Cage, like the neighborhood barbershop. That's kind of a, that's a very New York thing. You don't, you know, around here, you don't see people going to like, you know, Great Clips. And you don't see that, you know, classic like old man barbershop in, much anymore of like, you know, the guy who knows like everybody in the neighborhood. And
but yeah, I mean, for me, that's one thing that stands out. I don't know, the random animal cameo, like just, you know, elephants, the giraffes, and everything else. Like, I mean, you know, it's, I don't know, for me, I always like animals. I don't get to see giraffes just walking down the street and such.
It's got the elephants walking by outside the window. I mean, hey, that might be what they were playing polo on. Elephant polo when you're rich. You might have to have a really long hammer to be able to reach the ball, but that's a sport I would like to see.
Dude, an elephant would just decimate the ball. And everything else in its path.
Oh, yeah.
That or they would all just grab each other by the tail and walk in uniform. It'd be the world's most boring game of polo.
I did,
but
like,
maybe, you know, they form a circle and just start walking around in a circle, and the polo takes place in the center of the elephant circle.
I did like the...
Or maybe there's a mouse involved.
When they take him to the basketball game, and the slutty sister is like, you know, trying to give him a hand job under the coat, and he's like, yes!
It's like, it's halftime. Nothing's happened.
This is my favorite part. I'll go to the bathroom. I will be right back. But like, that one guy's such a deuce. He's like, you know, do y'all have a lot of sports in Africa? He's like, yes, we have football. I believe y'all call it soccer. You know, and but yeah, he just keeps making these like slide comments, like, you know, trying to make fun of him. But then when he goes to the the bathroom and runs into the guys from his country that know who he is. And they see them, like, you know, coming in, like, we want a picture with you, and bowing to him. It's like, this is the greatest. And they're like, what's up with that? Like, oh, I just met him in the bathroom. And they're like, oh, you're doing something in the bathroom. Okay.
There was a hole on the wall.
It was glorious.
Tangent alert.
The royal penis is clean.
Why do I envision, like, you stepping out of the shower, and that's just going to be your new thing? I can already see that.
Yep, probably. I'm going to try that tomorrow. I mean, I don't have a line to make a freaking robot of. I got a couple of idiot house cats that...
You can make some socks.
Yeah. That's probably about it. So as we kind of come to the end here, what are you thinking of this here Esteli?
Phenomenal.
Which has no Esteli tobacco in it. But it's made in Esteli. It's made at the CAO Esteli factory, so I guess that's where it gets its name. But you would expect something named Esteli would have, like, a shitload of Esteli tobacco in it.
Well, I mean, that's the thing about Esteli. I mean, you know, there's a lot of the factories there, but, I mean, it's the neighboring regions that a lot of your tobaccos come from. I will say medium plus. It is a good cigar. And initially lighting and everything, I mean, like I said, you know, you get a great combination of flavors. My only, you know, kind of, you know, issue is those flavors remain consistent throughout the cigar. So, you know, like we've had some that as you smoke the cigar, it's almost like you're getting a, you know, new cigar, you know, for the first third, the second third, the final third. This one has pretty much been the same cigar. So, you know, for me, it's kind of...
it's got a good flavor, but it's definitely consistent throughout.
Yeah, I mean, it's a little boring, you know, after, you know, smoking it for an hour. You know, I would like, you know, there to be, you know, a hint of strength, or, you know, a fading of, you know... You know, something just to vary it up. But, I mean, if you take, you know, those initial puffs and you're like, man, you know, those are really good, you know, yeah, great. But, I mean,
yeah, and this is, too, it's like it's a slow burner. I mean, like, it producing, like, big clouds of smoke, and it's, the ash is held together, like, really, really well. I mean, it's a good constructed cigar.
I mean, I can't, you know, no.
And for being for, like, a 54 ring gauge, I expected it to be about an hour smoke. But, you know, here we're an hour in, and I've probably got at least another three inches or so. So, you know, I've probably got another, like, 30 to 45 minutes worth of cigar left. I mean, this is a nice, and not a bad price, too. You know, it's like, you know, I think it was, like, $10, something like that. You know, it's, like, yeah, $9 to $10 range, depending on where you find it.
So, I mean, it's, you know, and don't take my comments out of context. I'm not saying, hey, it's a bad cigar. I'm just saying that
it's a consistent
cigar. It doesn't
cigar.
Have, you know, quite the complexity, you know, to really keep me engaged. If this was an hour-long cigar, perfect. But going into an hour and a half, an hour and 45 minutes with the same cigar, it leaves something to, you know, be desired from me. But I'm the type of person that enjoys my powerhouse cigars. And, you know, this is one of the cigars that if I've been at work all day and I'm hot and I just want to, you know, relax to, great, you know. But for, you know, sitting down in the air conditioning, just talking about the podcast, it's just a... Yeah, a little less complex than, you know, what
it's not,
some of the
I'm
other stuff
a,
we've had.
A huge kick of strength, but, like, the, you know, even though it's, like I said, a consistent and there's not a lot of range, it's got a lot of flavor. I mean, it's got enough, you know, flavor to keep me interested. Like I said, this is definitely wouldn't be a, special occasion cigar that, you know, going to be like complex where I just want to sit here and analyze the smoke, but just a chilling and smoking cigar, this is like a good, like, you know, just like quality cigar for, I mean, this could be an everyday smoke. I wouldn't call this a special occasion smoke, but it's definitely worth the time and money to, you know, if you got the, yeah, if you're, you know, sitting and bullshitting, it's a, not having to like just really concentrate on the cigar. I mean, it's a damn good cigar.
Yeah. I mean, I'm not, you know, in no ways trying to knock it. I'm just, you know, speaking, you know, exclusively to my palate and, you know, kind of my taste. And I guess, you know, when you're talking to hundreds and thousands of people that, you know, maybe that's not the best course of action. But I mean, you know, if you're into powerhouses, this is not going to be the cigar for you. If you're, you know, into, you know, something, you know, where you've got to have that level of complexity to invest, you know, 2 hours into it, probably not the cigar. But, you know, somebody comes over, hey, I want a good quality cigar. I would hand them this cigar and not feel ashamed or, you know, like, you know, I mean, I'm not handing you a Trader Jack's or something. This is something that I enjoy smoking. Just not quite 2 hours, you know. Yeah, this is one that, all right, halfway done with the cigar, I'll come back after dinner or something, revisit and finish up.
Yeah, with the, I mean, it's being flavorful without powerful. This is also something you could give to someone who's not an everyday smoker, someone who's, you know, that's, you know, wanting to try a cigar. Here's something that's not going to make you sick, but it's got enough flavor that you're going to have a good experience, and it's going to, you know, kind of a good introductory cigar for someone who's, you know, doesn't want to start off with something super light.
Yeah, no, I think that's definitely a fair statement. So, you know, and no way am I, you know, trying to poo-poo on it or anything, but, you
hashtag
know.
Pooping. Still going to make that a thing.
We still need a wiper.
And with that, we'll be right back.
Oh, say, can you see I'm coming to America?
It's time for some science. Ready to learn some stuff, Brad?
Dude, I just read the first headline from the first article, and no, I'm not ready. Not at all. Not in the slightest. I mean, you turn it into Hannibal Lecter? I mean, it's not October yet.
Well, let's. You brought it up. Let's go ahead and start with that one. It is Taco Tuesday, though, so.
Well, I mean the release of this episode will be on Taco Tuesday.
It's kind of, you know.
So are you going to like eat tacos as, you know, you release this? Like,
I did find some keto taco recipes. So. yes, a Reddit user, there's was no names attached, but I love his Reddit username. It's Incredibly Shiny Shart is the originator of this. Basically, him and his buddies kind of always wondered, what does human flesh taste like? And like, if we can find a way to legally eat human, we should do it. And it happened. Apparently, he was involved in a motorcycle accident where the legs, his, you know, foot was crushed, and they were going to have to amputate it. So the one question he asked the doctors, if I amputate this, can I keep the foot? And they're like, yeah, sure. So he invited 10 of his or 11 of his friends. 10 of them said yes, and they took meat from the shin and made tacos with it.
So he at least clued them in that, hey, you know. So this wasn't a, Gotcha.
No, this was not a shenanigan. This was a planned out meal, and apparently he got a chef buddy to prepare these, and he even gave the recipe of, you know, they marinated the meat overnight and then sauteed it with peppers, onions, and lime with some tortillas and tomatillo sauce and served up leg tacos. And they said, you know, that apparently, you know, because we've always heard cannibals refer to humans as long pork. He said it did kind of taste, said it was very beefy. It was kind of like a mix of veal and pork, but chewy and tough.
That is interesting. So it says here that apparently it's legal to eat human meat in all the U.S. states but Idaho.
Yeah, I don't know what the fuck is that. Was that where the whole like Dahmer party thing happened? Idaho is the only place it's illegal to eat human flesh. But unfortunately, most of the ways to obtain human flesh are illegal, like, you know, murder and corpse desecration. So, you know, it's kind of hard to legally obtain human meat. But yes, if you can legally attain it, it is legal in all 50 states. But yeah, this is a weird one. I mean, one of the weirdest things was this guy may be a serial killer or a psychopath, because he said, like, you know, he really had no attachment to the literally and figurative attachment to the leg. He said it didn't really feel like, you know, a part of a human. It was just, he said, the fact that it wasn't weird is what kind of made it weird. That's, God, might be a psycho.
You think? This guy might be on a watch list. If he's not on a watch list, probably put him on a watch list.
Yeah. I mean, this may be the new,
granted, not really a great track record, but...
Yeah, I mean, this may be the new, pop-up restaurant sensation. It, like, you know, there's a whole new, like, chef trend. I mean, you can donate your body to science when you die. Can you donate your body to mealtime?
Oh. I want to be part of the culinary arts. Well, that just turned to shit.
Yeah. Oh. Yeah, so leg tacos, apparently a thing. Speaking of something disgusting, also oddly has to do with Idaho. The plague is back, apparently. A child in Idaho has contracted the first local case of bubonic plague in nearly 30 years, which, you know, that's something I always hear about in, like, medieval stories and shit. Like, I didn't know that, like, 30 years seemed, like, awfully recent for the plague. I mean, you hear about Ebola and all these other weird, you know, stuff, but, you know, Yersinia pestilis, a.k.a. the plague, is apparently, you know, still something that happens around the world. And, you know, in the...
This is the one you get from fleas, right?
Yeah, it's like rats and fleas.
Well, I know a lot of people are trying to, you know, exterminate, you know, rats originally, and it's like, oh, it's not really the rats, it's the fleas.
And in this article, you know, the links will be, you know, in our post, there's a global map of, you know, natural plague reports, and apparently, like, you know, we're here safe in Georgia, but the Western United States there is cases of plague, and apparently the kid had made a trip to Oregon recently, and you know they said that it takes a few days for this to incubate, so they're not 100% sure of where he actually contracted the plague. But yeah, I did not know this. There's like warning signs in big natural parks like, you know, Yellowstone and stuff, that's like, stay away from the animals because, you know, plague possibly is a possibility. Like I said, I had no idea that this was something that was you need to worry about. I mean, nature's a scary motherfucker to begin with, but yeah, fucking the plague. But then again, yeah, the way the world's going now, we might need a global pandemic just to, you know, thin the herd, if you will. I mean, Thanos might have, yeah, the older I get, the more I think Thanos, yeah, might have had a had a good idea.
Gosh, yeah, I don't know. I mean, it's just crazy. Well, I mean, you know, and think about it too, you know. I mean, you got so many, you know, parents now, like, no, I'm not going to get my child immunized against, you know, anything and stuff like that. So, I mean, you know, that, or, you know, we've been using the same immunizations for so long. Yeah, like, you know, what happens, you know, once it becomes resistant and... I don't know.
If you look at like
it's a great
every,
time to start playing Plague.
I mean, if you look at all these big disaster movies or alien invasions, I mean, you know, there's always like a resurgence of like humanity. Like we all come together as like one planet when there's some like huge disaster. I mean, maybe another plague would, you know, bring us all closer together.
You would think, but you know, and I don't know. I mean, we've
it works
had
in sci-fi
you know,
movies.
Very big catastrophic. Now, I won't necessarily say on a global scale, but you know, I mean, just look at the terrorism attacks, you know, from 9/11 and stuff. What? There was a sense of, you know, unity for what? A few months after that?
I don't know, it probably lasted a few years.
Now look at where we are, you know, and I'm sorry, you know, one person and, you know, the president's office isn't to blame for that. I think we all need to look in the mirrors and evaluate oneself.
Speaking of getting older, I mean, and this is something that I think we've kind of theorized at one point or another that, you know, as you get older, you stop listening to new music. Well, now there's actually science to back it up. A study in the UK.
It turns to shit because all you got to do. Mumble, 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 bass, 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 drum, mumble, mumble, mumble.
Yeah, like apparently there's a study that, you know, kind of explains why your grandparents still listen to Elvis and your parents listen to, you know, stuff from the 70s and people our age listen to stuff from the mid 90s.
My parents don't listen to anything other than, you know, acoustic bluegrass. So, I mean, and gospel.
But yeah. You know, this study says that people tend to experience what they're calling musical paralysis around the age of 30, where you stop listening to any new artist or new genres and tend to stick to the stuff that you already know. And apparently this even kind of peaks in your teens. It's like the stuff that you replay the most is the stuff that you were listening to at 14 or 15, which they say like in your teen years is the time you're most influenced by music. And I
yeah, because life was so much simpler. You didn't have bills and mortgages and, you know, jobs and, you know, she broke my heart, like, you know, and you were over that shit and on a new dime piece, you know, in a matter of days. Like,
you were, I gotta say, like,
this, you were in school, you were networking, you were social, like...
But I say this study
all that shit happened, you know, and ends.
Makes sense to me because, like I said, I tend to listen to the stuff I listened to in high school. Like I said, I can't remember the last time I bought a new artist or so, like the only thing that I still kind of follow and pick up on news is like some of these independent YouTube artists and especially a lot of the, like the nerdcore, like hip hop and rap. But then again, a lot of that stuff sounds like 90s era rap music to me, which is what, you know, like I said, I probably still, you know, gravitate, you know, the old rock and roll, like, you know, the stuff I grew up on listening to that my parents had around. And then like, you know, the stuff from the, you know, late, you know, mid to late 90s. Like I said, I wouldn't even be able to tell you who a new artist is or what they,
well, I mean,
new
granted that
like,
you know, they were, you know, snorting condoms or eating Tide Pods. I mean, do we really want to, you know, encourage, you know, their success and development? Do you really want that? Like, I mean, to your point earlier, like at some point you just got to let natural selection, like, do away with all these fucking warning labels. Yeah. Like if you're stupid enough to, you know, consume shit like that, then hey, you know?
Yeah, I definitely spend more time now, like, listening to Frog Leap Studios and, you know, Mega Rand and these guys than I do to any, like, legitimate, like, you know, mainstream music.
Because it's all the same mass-produced bullshit.
And a final story about badassery. I mean, like, this is... And it's here local in Georgia, but apparently a grandmother fought off a bobcat and choked it to death in her own yard. Miss Dee Dee Phillips of Hart County, Georgia was, you know, and we kind of talk about people like, you know, taking selfies and dying, you know, and it's going to see something dangerous. I should take a photo of it instead of like, you know, being afraid. She saw a bobcat in her yard and decided to take a photo of it. Well, it turns out this bobcat that normally would run from humans was rabid and immediately attacked her. But apparently, like, you know, this lady was a badass. Said she just finished putting a bumper sticker on her truck that said, women who behave seldom make history. And said, she was like, well, my, you know, father or grandfather used to hunt bobcats, so I know how they behave, and they're going to go for your throat. So she's like, yeah, she's like, and like I said, she apparently she had grandkids in the house, so she didn't want to call for help and afraid that someone would come out and then get attacked. So she just freaking choked this thing out like a boss.
I mean, fucking right. I mean, I don't know. I mean, you know, I think the best piece of advice is, you know, if you're, you know, if there's a struggle or something and your life is on the line, do whatever it takes to make sure that you're the hardest motherfucker to kill.
Like, yeah.
You may go down in defeat, but, you know, you make sure that, you know, that's a motherfucking battle, you know.
Yeah, choking out a bobcat. That's just kind of fucking... I'd buy that granny a beer. That's some badass shit. And apparently, like I said, this lady did not have medical insurance, and the rabies treatments, you know, already cost like $10,000. Plus, she had some lacerations and a broke finger. So there is a crowdfunding campaign to help pay for her medical expenses. So if you go to the article and are, you know, there, and you want to donate to this badass, there is a link to her crowdfunding campaign. But yeah, like freaking, you know, going toe to toe with a bobcat and just choking it out. That's like some badass shit right there. And with that, we'll be right back.
Well, hello everybody, and welcome to a very special commercial for We Podcast and We Know Things.
Wow, a commercial?
Yes, Sam, a commercial. You do this to me every time. Anyway, we are We Podcast and We Know Things, the single source for all of your nerdy news in gaming, TV, film, music, and all things pop culture. Heck, even wrestling. We're basically spreading the good word of nerd one episode at a time.
Check us out here on the ESO Podcast Network and wherever fine podcasts are, including the iOS podcast app, CastBox, Spotify, iHeartRadio, and TuneIn.
And be sure to follow us on Twitter and Instagram to keep up with all the goings-on in the nerdy world. Now back to your ESO Network podcast.
Who's better than us?
And now it's time for all things nerdy in Nerd News.
And welcome to Nerd News.
Yeah, news.
All right, so to go ahead and jump into the fray, Tim Burton making a appearance on the map in a... We got a teaser trailer for his live-action Dumbo movie, which is set to release in theaters March 2019. And, you know, I mean, Dumbo is one of those lighthearted, you know, great story... But... With the Tim Burton, you know, animate, you know,
yeah, I expect kinda something dark. It's gonna win. It's
but
weird.
I mean, dude, I. All right, do I get my man card revoked to say that? Hey, this actually looks interesting, and I sort of want to check it out. I mean,
no, I mean the Disney, yeah, they've kind of got on this kick lately of remaking, you know, their animated classics as live action films. And you know, the live-action Beauty and the Beast was, you know, I was admittedly dragged to that, but it turned out to be actually a really good movie. and like I said, some of the... I've not watched it yet, but I heard the live-action Jungle Book was actually a real good movie. So, I mean, it's kind of still, you know, in that wheelhouse, but it's just kind of weird this, you know, Tim Burton flick.
Yeah, I mean... But we talked about it earlier, you know? I mean, which... I mean, granted, you know, Nightmare Before Christmas and, you know, some of the other big, you know, Tim Burton, you know, Corpse Bride. I would say, you know, more family, you know, there's always kind of the darker elements, you know, that some of those films. But, I mean, this here would be, you know, a movie that I, you know, definitely a family, you know, flick. And I like you said, you know, with...
And a lot of those old school Disney did have like a dark element to it. I mean, even the original Dumbo had the whole, you know, him kind of being like abused and bullied. And, you know, you got Bambi who starts with a, you know, a lot of old Disney movies started with a murder. I mean, you got Bambi's mom, you know, the freaking, you know, Wicked Witch is trying to poison people. I mean, it's Disney has its dark side.
Fox and the Hound. I mean, and yeah, like you said, you know, Dumbo definitely has that. I mean, I you know... I think this is one, you know, back, you know, when, unfortunately, man, circuses just aren't, you know, as popular or, you know, like, talking
yeah,
about,
cause,
you know.
Yeah, because, I mean, Barnum and Bailey finally, like, shut down after, I don't know, 100 years in business or however long that, you know, Barnum and Bailey was around, there's, you don't really see the big circuses anymore. I mean, I just watched that, whatever, Greatest Showman about, you know, P.T. Barnum. And yeah, it's like the old school, you know, circus you don't really see anymore. I mean, you still see like, kind of like the Circus Olay, the big like acrobatic gymnastics type stuff. But yeah, you don't really see the big animal shows
anymore. And I mean, granted, yes, you know, I mean, I am a person that, you know, sympathizes, you know, with animals oftentimes a lot more than I do people. You know, so I mean, you know, if there's abuse and, you know, I mean, obviously taking a creature out of its, you know, natural habitat and, you know, put into captivity and showbiz and stuff, you know, especially for a lion or, you know.
Yeah, like the trained animal. I mean, it's not like, you know, trained dogs, which, you know, they're not really abused because they're more of a domesticated, you know, animal. But yeah, when you're teaching wild animals to do tricks, there's definitely some cruelty involved. But at the same time, it's like, this is like the only place kids and stuff could see an elephant or a giraffe or a lion up close, you know, other than going to the zoo. But
and even you, I don't know. I mean, and depending on the cities and the area that you're in, not all zoos are created equal either. You know, I mean, I don't know. I mean, zoos are, you know, unfortunately, you know, in that same boat. I mean, you know, it's like, you know, if you're a giraffe keeper and your job is to ensure, you know, the safety and the viability of this animal and it gets its neck caught in a cage, then, you know, obviously you have failed at your role. Like, yeah.
You have failed the city.
So, you know, I mean, I don't know. I'm almost wondering, you know, with this, if, you know, with this trailer, you know, it's a teaser, so it's very short, doesn't really give you a whole lot of insight. But, you know, I think that, you know, it's going to be a great ride. I don't know. I mean, Dumbo was, you know, I mean, I think, you know, really helped put, you know, the ideas of poaching and stuff like that, you know, on the map and, you know, trying to rally together for some good causes and stuff. So I don't know. You know, I'm curious to see how it goes. But, I saw it and I was like, huh, this is kind of cool. So,
yeah, because, I mean, yeah, it's kind of weird when they do the live action of something that does, you know, at least Beauty and the Beast had human characters in it. And, yeah, it's kind of weird seeing the live action where it's real animals or at least, you know, CGI real animals. Yeah, that's kind of the weird thing of the Disney live action movies is the stuff that doesn't really have a whole lot of human characters in it.
Absolutely. So, you know, keeping right on with the theme of animals.
And they've got a second Jungle Book coming, like a sequel to that coming out pretty soon. I remember seeing a trailer for that recently.
Yeah, I remember that too. I don't remember if we talked about it or not, but so Jurassic World, I still have yet to see the movie, so we're not going to go into any details or anything. Just looking at the dollar figures, you know, opened with $150 million, domestic box office for its opening weekend. Now that is $58 million less than its predecessor. So, you know, what do you think? I mean, you know, that's a big chunk of change.
Yeah, I mean,
you know,
I saw it last night and I enjoyed it. It's a pretty good movie, but it's so different from the previous Jurassic Park where, and that's, we talked about, you know, movies giving away the whole storyline in the trailer. I think the Jurassic Park trailers did a pretty good job of like, you know, the movie I thought I was going to see and was not the movie I saw. I mean, it was, you know, the whole thing about the island blowing up and we got to save the animals, that's probably like the first 20, 30 minutes of the movie. And then it kind of turns into this whole, like, I don't know, heist film type thing. So it's definitely like a different from the previous movie itself.
But I mean, you know, the originals, I mean, you know, it started with the heist of, you know, the DNA and stuff like that. So, I mean, you know, just based on the snippets, I mean, I haven't seen it. So obviously everything I do is speculation, but I mean, you know, it seems like there's nods, you know, to the original, you know, I mean.
I mean, of course, like the T-Rex is back. He's been in just about every movie.
You know, we keep talking about SWAT Raptors, and, you know, I haven't seen everybody, you know, commenting, we got SWAT Raptors, so, I mean, you know.
Oh, there's definitely some, you know, Blue's back, too. So, yeah, we got a little bit of SWAT Raptors in it.
Well, I mean, dude,
yeah.
You know, Blue was...
You're my boy, Blue. Yeah, even though you're a girl.
I mean, probably one of the more iconic, or probably most iconic outside of the T-Rex now, I think. You know, I think in the first Jurassic Park, I mean, you know, the sadness of the long necks and stuff, I mean, I think was, you know, I don't know.
Oh, I gotta say, there is a tearjerker moment with the long neck, too. It's yeah, it definitely has, like, you know, heart, and a lot more comedy, I think, in this one, too. I mean, that's the... been kind of the element of the new Chris Pratt versions of Jurassic
Park.
Well,
I mean,
you can't have him in a movie and not have, like, you know, comedy elements to it.
Well, I'm just wondering as a whole, you know. I mean, look at what they did with Thor, you know. I mean,
yeah.
Look at the previous Thor movies. Then we got Ragnarok, and it's like, oh, shit, we got, you know, Guardians of the Galaxy, but with Thor, you know. I mean...
And there's very much that, you know, like, the last one had a lot of throwbacks to the original Jurassic Park. And this one even has, like, you know, the return of Dr. Malcolm, you know, freaking his character. So it's like there's still some you know, throwbacks to the
definitely
the
seen
origins.
You know, a ton of the Jeff Goldblum memes. I mean, you know, that guy is.
I did see one thing somebody posted, like, for this if they do a third one. It needs to be, like, the reverse. It's now, like, 3 million years later, and humans have gone extinct, and the dinosaur scientists are trying to bring back humans, and now it's, like, you know, kind of like the movie the show Dinosaurs, where they're bringing back humans and building a human park. And then it turns out to be the human they resurrect is Jeff Goldblum, but they've mixed his DNA with the with insect DNA, so now it's just a sequel to The Fly.
That's pretty cool. Alright, switching gears onto something completely different. So, you know, we talked about previous, you know, few weeks ago, about Rick and Morty finally getting renewed. Well, apparently Rick and Morty trading cards are on the way. So Cryptozoic, they do, board games and card games, but so apparently a series of Rick and Morty trading cards, and they will be sold in 5 packs and will come with main characters from the series, memorable moments, temporary tattoos, standee stickers, and one of the coolest aspects, scratch and sniffs.
Oh shit. I haven't seen a scratch and sniff in forever. Yeah, now that they've, you know, signed that huge deal, which is kind of like unprecedented for Cartoon Network, like a 70 episode, they're going to merchandise the fuck out of this.
Oh yeah, I mean,
it's going to be Disney levels of merchandising now.
Oh yeah, but I mean, one of the cool things though is
I'm Missile Rick.
Well, check this. So there is a 1 in 48 chance of, you know, getting a character card which is actually signed by a member of the cast.
Ooh.
So I thought that was kind of, you know, cool. So, I mean...
Yeah, bringing the trading card game back.
Oh, yeah. I mean, who knows?
I mean, do people still, like, collect cards? Is baseball cards still a thing?
Baseball cards, not so much, I don't think. But, I mean...
That's Rick and Morty.
But,
people...
I mean,
buy anything, slap Rick and Morty.
I mean,
on
look at Funko Pop. I mean, you know, look at Magic the Gathering. You know, I mean, that is still very, very huge. You don't walk into a comic book shop and not see, you know, a plethora of people still playing. You know, Magic. You know, granted, that's not necessarily a trading card. Super Fight, Cards Against Humanity. I mean, I don't know. I mean, can we get a Rick and Morty expansion pack, like an unofficial for Cards Against Humanity? I mean,
there's been about, you know, just about any kind of other, like, Cards Against Humanity expansions. Yeah, Rick and Morty would definitely be something that would fit in that universe.
You know, maybe Cards Against Humanity can do, like, the, you know, the science pack or something. I don't know. All right, so, you know.
Jesus, Morty.
We talked about Solo. We talked about our likeness. We talked about the not-so-epic box office success. Or failure, depending on how you want to look at it. But Lucasfilm apparently is postponing Star Wars spinoff films.
Yeah, well, they've kind of been not like actually flat out saying, but they're like, oh, we still have plenty of Star Wars in the works. And it looks like, yeah, they're anything that's like the one-off a Star Wars story is they're like, maybe we should pump the brakes on that, which is kind of disappointing because like I said, the Boba Fett one I was looking forward to. And even like they're talking about it, been talking about an Obi-Wan standalone. Yeah. It's kind of sucks that those may go away, but yeah, they've kind of overloaded, I think.
Like we talked about, you know, you had a 30-year nostalgia gap, you know, yeah. and all of a sudden, oh, we got Star Wars again, and then every year after that, you're getting Star Wars. I mean, yeah, there is some level of desensitization.
Yeah, they're trying to do the Marvel thing where we've got three or four Marvel movies coming out a year, but we're not getting the same three or four Marvel movies coming out a year. And that whole releasing, like, you know, that coming out every December was almost like enough of a break between stuff where this coming out 6 months after the last movie was kind of just a little bit of a...
But I mean...
Especially a movie that was kind of critically not, from the fans anyway, not exactly enjoyed that, like I said...
Which is crazy because nobody in any of the circles I've talked to have shit all over those films. You know, I mean, yeah, there were some people that, you know, had a bit of, you know, quips and, you know, quarrels with some stuff. But, I mean, overall, everybody I've talked to has been, you know, pretty positive. You know, I mean, I just think that now it's become cool to hate on something and, you know, oh, it's a big franchise. And I'm sorry, man. Episode 9, I can't say that I'm stoked about it.
No, talking about some of the other projects they have in the work are like new trilogies of films. There's like at least two other trilogies they're talking about doing.
Well, I mean, you know, so I guess the focus now is going to be Episode 9 and then the Rian Johnson, you know, trilogy. But it's like, I don't know. I mean,
yeah, like I said, I'd much rather kind of see them continue with the filling in of the previous histories, you know, and yeah, it. If they do a trilogy, do something from part of the universe that we haven't seen yet. You know, what was the expanded universe? Because like I said, we've got, you know, a 30, 40 year gap in storytelling that they could definitely fill in, you know, or like, you know, stuff between the original trilogy and the, you know, prequel trilogy.
I mean,
trilogy.
It just kind of sucks. Okay, so spoiler alert for anybody that, you know, hasn't seen Solo yet, but... I'm going to give you, you know, 5 seconds to pause the podcast in 4, 3, 2, 1. All right. So, you know, debuting Darth Maul toward the end of Solo was, oh shit. And, you know, there was so much that could be done. I mean, you know.
Hell, a Darth Maul movie, yeah, would be interesting.
I mean, it's just crazy to me to think about the success of Clone Wars, you know, the animated series and stuff like that. And it's like, there's such a vast sandbox to play in, yet for some reason, we're just going to continue focusing on the same 7 or 8 characters that we have for the last 30 years. Like, to me, it's old. It's getting repetitive. Like, I want to see other aspects of Star Wars. And I was, you know, with Solo, we got just, you know, a little snippet enough to say, yeah, I want more of that. And now it's taken away.
Yeah, I want bring the wars back to Star Wars. I mean, I like when they announced Rogue One, I was hoping for like an X-Wing movie. I mean, give us like a freaking, like, you know, the Rogue Squadron movie, or, you know, do something more on the, you know, on the ground military stuff. You know, it's the title of the stuff is Star Wars. Give us more of those big, like, space battle movies. Like I said, there's so much they can do with this franchise, but yeah, I kind of hate to see them, you know, one kind of setback, having them, you know, try to rethink the whole universe.
Yeah.
But, you know, we'll see.
Well, you know, the other thing that has taken the internet by storm is Space Force. Well, Doom Eternal has been announced. So that is going to be our next in Space Marine anthology series, and I thought it only fitting to give a nod.
They should have called it the Space Marines instead of the Space Force. But yeah, that's what something's like. People are all like, if they're, that's how we know there's not aliens, because if Trump got in power, he'd definitely tell us they're aliens. Maybe he's kind of telling us there's aliens without flat out saying they're aliens. He's like, yeah, we need to have space dominance. I'm going to put together this space force. I'm like, motherfucker, he may know something's coming.
Yeah, absolutely. I've seen enough, I don't know. I was watching Men in Black the other night, just to veg out too. And, it's they're doing the whole scene of, read the tabloids for the news. And it's like...
Yeah. I'm not saying it's aliens, but it's probably fucking aliens.
So,
which I did see a picture with David Duchovny with the aliens guy at some convention. I was like, yes, that's like the greatest like pair up. It's like him and David Duchovny. It's like Mulder and the weird History Channel aliens guy.
I saw, a guy from History doing identifying like all of the animals from Jurassic World and stuff. That was kind of cool. So no official release date yet for Doom. You'll basically be fighting the forces of hell, and
this is a game and not another Doom movie, right?
It is the game, yes. Okay. And I don't know about you, but I absolutely love the shit out of,
that
the
last
2016 Doom. So
that last game was like hard as shit.
But it looks like we'll get both new and some of the classic demons with more powerful weapons and abilities. So
that fucking last spotter demon was a bitch. I hated that bastard.
You loved it. And as we wrap up here, you remember back when MTV actually did TV shows other than, just...
reality TV?
16 and pregnant and 12 and pregnant, and it's cool to be a fucking teenage mom and shit.
Yeah, I didn't know MTV was still around.
Yeah, well, apparently Daria is set to get a reboot. So all the emo kids out there will...
Interesting.
A show I never really cared about or followed because I was like, this, I'd murder her in my sleep. But
there's no Beavis and Butthead. What's the point?
I mean, come on. But yeah, I don't know. Apparently they're rebooting Aeon Flux, and Daria, potentially the real world and Maid. So I guess they're trying to figure out that, hey, we should go back to some of our roots. They should just start playing music again.
Speaking of reboots, have you seen that they're bringing back Double Dare on Nickelodeon? I finally saw some videos. They've got the original host, Mark Summers, is back, and I saw some videos on Facebook of them like showing the new games and stuff that they would like, the new obstacle course, and it's pretty much just like hyped up versions of like the original stuff. And I'm like, okay, I might have to watch this when it cooks. Fucking Double Dare is one of the shows I loved as a kid. I was like, it was just disgusting. I was like, I want to be on that show.
So, any other tidbits, anything you got for us?
No, but I think that is it. Be sure and check us out on CigarNerdPodcast.com. We're also on the ESO Network at ESOPodcast.com. We're on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, at CigarNerdPod. You can get your Cigar Nerds shirts at Zazzle or RealMenSmokeCigars.com. And don't forget to pick up some energy drinks at StrikeForceEnergy.com, promo code Cigar Nerds. And with that, the royal penis is clean. And this has been a recording of the Cigar Nerd Podcast. We're your hosts, Smokin' Joe and Brad Jackson. Join us next time for more adventures in nerddom.
This has been a broadcast of the ESO Network. Be part of the crew and help support our shows by donating to our ESO Patreon or by shopping through Amazon.com or the TeePublic store, which can all be found at www.esonetwork.com. The ESO Network, your station for all things geek.